I would like to read a few scriptures this evening. When the chorus was sung, "This is the day," I thought of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, from verse 9. Nehemiah 8, from verse 9. Here it says, "And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved." Do we realize what this is about? The day that the Lord has made is holy to him. Do not be discouraged. Do not look yet at what is not yet visible, but look on the invisible as if we see him. For he is faithful. He will fulfill every promise he has made. He will do what he has promised. The heavens will fall before his word deceives me. Yes, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever. There were special days, special times with Israel, among the people of God, and of course, also in the course of the New Testament church. And this too is a special generation, a special time, a time when Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. We see it now with Israel. Until recently, Israel still had a great friend whose word carried weight. And recently, we saw that friendship come to an end, so that the scripture may be fulfilled, as it is written in the prophet Zechariah, in chapters 12 and 14. Chapter 12, verse 3. "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. When all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." God's word says so, and so it shall be. At the very end, Israel will be left alone, but not alone. At that very moment, God will fight for Israel, and on that day put an end to everything that is going on there. It is written here in Zechariah 14 in such a wonderful way. Also, verse 3 and the first part of verse 4. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. We know that this day is very near, but there is always a parallel between Israel and the New Testament Church. Satan and the whole world were and are against Israel, simply because God chose Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and revealed himself to the people of Israel. The Holy Scriptures do not say the God of Germany or the God of America, but as has been said thousands of times, 6,000 times, it is written in the Bible, the God of Israel. I have not counted, but it is written often enough. Even if the people of Israel were disobedient and went their own way, this will only happen until the full number of the Gentiles has entered the church, and then God will turn again to the people of Israel. Let us return to the word in Nehemiah. This is the day that the Lord has made. Do not grieve, but eat the fat. Do not be sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The whole people heard and accepted the word of the Lord and were very impressed, and we too are gathered to hear God's word. In the past few days, I have often been contacted. Many knew that I had grown older and reached a round number or a balanced number, twice the number 5. And the people wished me God's blessing. I should read Psalm 55. I should read Isaiah 55. Again and again, I was given specific scriptures to read. I would like to read to you the first scripture from Psalm 50, which we have already highlighted here several times. Psalm 50, verses 5 and 6. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Perhaps also verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. We are gathered here as the people of the new covenant to hear the word of God and to remind ourselves anew of what was given to us through Golgotha. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, dear friends, if we could be granted the gift of experiencing Golgotha anew these days in its divine significance and impact, then there would be joy in the house of God, and we could sing of God's victory in the tabernacles of the righteous. On Sunday in Zurich, I referred to Genesis 14, when the Lord named Melchizedek, king of Salem, took bread and wine and went out to meet Abraham to celebrate supper with him. What was it? He went to celebrate the victory that God had given Abraham over all the enemy powers, over all the kings who had gathered there. First, God gave the victory, and then the Lord went to celebrate the supper with Abraham. For those who do not yet know that it was truly the Lord, let us read from Hebrews chapter 7, because theologians say it was an unknown pagan king. No, it was not an unknown pagan king. It was the king of righteousness, the king of Salem. I read Hebrews 7 from verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. How wonderful it is to read such a glorious word. When the Lord went out to meet Abraham, he had not yet come into the flesh. He had not yet been revealed as the Son of God in the flesh, had no father, no mother, no beginning, no end. But then he laid aside his divinity and his glory and became man for the sake of mankind, to restore us to our divine status. He is King of Salem, King of peace, King of righteousness. Beloved, he went to celebrate the victory. I thought of the Lord's Supper, which we will have tomorrow, God willing, and in connection with that, the great victory of Golgotha. Beloved, we must realize what really happened there, so that we can be helped. We sometimes hear, and Brother Rus has already said it so beautifully, that we don't just come here. We want to be involved, whether singing, praying, or preaching the word. We want to be part of it. And I believe God will see to that. Today I read a passage from the book of Acts that is very familiar to all of us. And I thought about the impact that the simplest sermon had when it was delivered so freshly in Acts chapter 10. It says from verse 39, here Peter speaks, moved by the Spirit of God, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead.
Zusammen gegessen und getrunken haben.
And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. A very short sermon. And do you know what happened next? While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. These people were really on the ball. Of course, we admit that at that time the whole matter was fresh in the minds of the people. There were those who spoke for and against it, but the whole world knew what had happened to Jesus of Nazareth, that he had been crucified, that he had died, and that he had been buried. And then there were also those who could testify that he had risen. Even the unbelievers could confirm the first point, for they had spat on him, they had mocked him, they had crucified him and ridiculed him, saying, prophesy to us who it is that struck you. Everyone could testify to the first part, but then came a part that the unbelievers did not witness, that they could no longer testify to. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are my witnesses." And Peter elaborates on this word here and writes, "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead." This is where the section begins that the unbelievers can no longer participate in or follow. I believe it was on Wednesday evening when Brother Rus mentioned here in the prayer meeting that all of Christendom celebrates Christmas in some way. Dolls are placed in a crib. Some sing, "O Christmas Tree." Others sing, "Christ Child, Come," and whatever else there is. But then there are people who do not place dolls in any manger or cradle. There are people in whom Christ was born. People who understood and experienced the meaning and purpose of what it was all about, God becoming man, namely to beget God's offspring, to beget sons and daughters of God, and to call them into existence. Everyone can celebrate, and Christianity also seems to know when to light a candle during Advent and when to light the second, third, and fourth. Everyone knows about that. But who knows? And who has encountered the risen Lord? Who has had an experience with the Lord? Jesus said, "Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye will see me, for I will reveal myself to you." The world sees me no more. Beloved, we would like to see Jesus. That is why we are here today and in these days. We do not want to just hear and receive instruction through the Word. We want to have an encounter with the Word made flesh. We would like to see Jesus. We want to experience Jesus, experience Him anew, so that the rest of our doubts would be dispelled, and we would see Him as the risen one in our midst. From Psalm 55, I was given verse 7 to read, and then I realized that Brother Branham read this verse when he preached the sermon on the snow-white dove. Psalm 55, I read from verses 7 to 9. "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. I don't know how many of you remember this sermon, but Brother Branham then sang the song about a snow-white dove and added a fourth verse to the three existing ones, expressing how much sorrow, suffering and hardship he had gone through, and he longed to go home. He longed to be taken away from all that he had encountered here and to be with the Lord. And I believe that we all experience hours and days when things do not go the way we would like them to. And then we too wish we had wings to fly away from it all and find peace somewhere, as the psalmist expresses it here. This is how we all feel, even if not always, yet time and again. Then would I fly away and be at rest and remain in the wilderness. This reminds me of David's words in Psalm 139. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I go to the ends of the earth, you, O God, are there. And if I make my bed in hell, thy right hand shall hold me. Where can we go from the presence of God? No, we do not need to flee. We can come to Him. We do not need to seek rest somewhere. We can find it here. There is a rest for the people of God, and all who come to rest from their own works can rest in God. When God had finished His work, He rested on the seventh day and saw that everything was good. Let me read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. It is indeed a wonderful word, and I believe some of our brothers and sisters who were in Karaganda at the last meeting, they know that this was the main text, but since the number 55 means a double portion of grace for me, I have read it again and have been newly strengthened and refreshed by the word of the Lord. And the last verse from Isaiah 54 was once suddenly given to me by the Lord. It was brought to life when the first massive attacks were launched, and I truly felt, as David expressed, Lord, where shall I go? What else can I do? And I remember when a quiet, soft voice, inaudible, but suddenly I opened Isaiah 54 and read verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It was, is, and remains a great comfort to me. God watches over His word. He watches over us who believe it and who carry it. And when we look back in these days, we can testify anew how much the gracious God has spread His wings over me in times of trouble. There have been more flights than in any other year, and yet everything has gone well. Not every passenger who boards the plane gets off again in such good spirits. We have had to learn this repeatedly in recent times, and yet we can testify that the hand of God was with us, that the Lord opened doors and gates. And while we are on the subject, and my thoughts take me back a few years, probably to 1974, when I was sitting in my office at Lech Street number 7, my back to the wall and my right side to the window. The flight to India and the trip through all of India were all set, and the departure was scheduled for Monday. And there I was sitting, what was it, Thursday or Friday, probably Thursday. And out of the blue, the voice of the Lord, as you hear my voice, cancel the flight to India. I'm sure I've already given testimony about this two or three times somewhere. Every time the voice of the Lord speaks, you startle. You can't explain to anyone else what that means. And I immediately left the office, got into the car, drove to the forest, and prayed and said, Lord, maybe this flight, and then maybe another one. And I said to the Lord, the halls are rented, and I want to keep my word and not disappoint the brothers and sisters and so forth. The Lord be my witness. It must have been a quarter past 11. I didn't look at my watch when the voice of the Lord came for the second time. Cancel the trip to India. And you read it in the newspapers. All 96 passengers who had boarded and were supposed to fly from Bombay to Madras burned up in the air, and my name was on the list, on the passenger list. I received a call from the Express in Cologne, that is the office, and they wanted to inquire about me, because my name was on the list, or was that even another time? In any case, my name was there. I had a confirmed booking on the plane, and behold, the Lord spoke, cancel the trip to India. If we were to have a testimony hour today, we could testify to many things that God has done, how He has preserved us, how He has guided and led us. Let us turn to Isaiah 55, where the desires and wishes of all our hearts may be expressed, and may we also feel addressed. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price, and so forth. You can read verse 3 here. Perhaps we can read it together. Yes, verse 2 is also very precious. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. A wonderful word. You know, I love to read the prophet Isaiah. He was such an excellent instrument of God, a man through whom God could speak and write so much. And how precious are the thoughts and words here. God Himself says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Who do you listen to? Who do I listen to? If we go back to the Garden of Eden, it was enough to break one word, to not keep one word. It was enough to fail the test on one word. Who did Eve listen to? Who knows? The serpent. Who did Adam listen to? Who knows? Eve. Here the Lord says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Who do you listen to? Who do I listen to? What do people hear these days? Stop listening to everything else and start listening to what God has said and revealed to the church through His Word. Then we will have good food to eat. Has the Lord ever given anything bad? He says, you who are evil and can give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? Hearken unto me. Don't we all want to say this to the Lord, each for ourselves? My God, from this day forward, listen only to you. Listen only to what you tell me through your word. To be truly consistent. For I tell you, the devil has already spoken through many pious people. And the more pious people are, the greater harm he can cause through them. I have selected three scriptures for those who say, for example, everyone who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God is of God. And if I were to read to you the three scriptures where the demons in the days of Jesus uttered these words, what would you say? I have already noted them down. Not only a confession with the lips, but divine revelation is necessary for this. When the Holy Scriptures speak of the Son of God, they also tell us who He is, namely the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, the First and the Last, is none other God than the Lord of Hosts. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Eve came into trouble because she listened to the serpent. Adam came into trouble because he listened to Eve. And we have come into much trouble because we have listened to others and not to God. That is why the message has been sent. That is why God has sent a prophet to bring us back to the Word of God. And now, we should no longer listen and have itching ears, but be ready to hear the Word of God. We read in Nehemiah that when the people returned from Babylonian captivity, there was no more interpretation. The Word of God was read, and the temple was rebuilt. After we were led out of Babylonian captivity, there is no more interpretation. We have been taken out of the interpretations, so that we no longer incline our ear to the interpretations, but to listen to the Lord. Never before has it been so important and necessary to close our ears to everything else and take in the pure Word of God as it is now. And I will tell you why. Just as Jesus Christ was the pure, holy Word made flesh, so the bride will be a pure, holy Word bride, born of the same seed of the Word of God, flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. He, the firstborn among many brethren, no mixture, but a pure divine product. Hallelujah! Praise be to the name of the Lord. Who did the Son of Man listen to when he was tempted by Satan? Satan also spoke to him, tempted him, came with the Word of God. And then it gets really bad. The enemy still does the same today. He came to the Lord, who was performing his ministry on earth in lowliness, in the form of a servant, and tempted him, saying, if you are the Son of God, the demons of the devil have already confessed that he is the Son of God. He puts the question mark, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down, and so on. The enemy came to the prophets. He came to Jesus, and he will not bypass you and me either. But what did Jesus say? He has no right over me. Satan must lose every right and every claim over us. And if we abide in the Word, then we abide in God. And the Word seed abides in us, so that we cannot sin against God. For thus it is written, and I am convinced that the Lord will help us and grant us grace. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Then there is the admonition, incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. We are gathered here not to hear what this or that person has to report or say. We want to incline our ear to the Lord during these days. And I would like to emphasize once again, let us not mix anything together. It is not possible. What does wheat have to do with chaff? It cannot be mixed. The Word is pure, and we are washed with the washing of water by the Word. We have become part of the Word. And it says here, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Let us tell the Lord that we will incline our ear to Him, that we want to hear what He has to say to us. Then comes the call, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. A word addressed to all those who have strayed a little from the path. Return to the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God knows why certain things happen, why they are allowed to happen. But here it is. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The Lord does not say, I will give you time to think it over. You have another week. You have another year. And then we can talk about it a second time. The Lord says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. God has not said anything about tomorrow. Today, if you hear His voice, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. We can guarantee this to everyone on the basis of God's Word. Those who return to the Lord will find forgiveness, grace, and salvation. We are still in the day of salvation. It is still the time of grace, and we can return to the Lord. Then in verse 8 it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I have read it to myself, and now to all of us. May it become true in all our lives that we abandon our own ways, thoughts, intentions, and plans, and surrender to the Lord and say, "My God, include me according to your plan and your will in the end time events that you are bringing to completion with your church." A brother expressed the thought in prayer that we have often heard God's word and been blessed in this place, and then came the powerful sentence, "But let us this time find the place in your body that you have intended for us, that God might not only speak and bless, but also bring about something lasting in all of us, that we might renounce all unbelief and little faith and honor our God through faith. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." But then it is written, God has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. "Cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." There are many scriptures. We are gathered here before the face of God to experience God as never before. Shall I say it again? To experience God as never before. God has the fullness, and we have already said that the time is not only near, the time is here. The hour of glorification of the name of Jesus Christ has come. And as it was in the days of Joshua, and then again in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, there were, as already mentioned, special days, special periods among the people of God and in the church. This is our day. This is our time. And listen to what it says here in Isaiah 55, namely in verses 10 and 11. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." God sent his word and healed them. All interpretations had made us sick. And the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 28, all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. And it says, here a little and there a little. Here we do not have a little. By the grace of God, we have been allowed to sit at a pure table, not where people gave what they themselves had digested a little, but could not swallow completely. No, the Lord has prepared a table before us. We are at the Lord's table to partake of the food, the revealed word of God, the fresh manna, so that our souls may be revived. In this place, we do not read much from Brother Branham's sermons, but nowhere else are so many sermons laid out as here. And everyone reads the sermons, everyone delves into them, and everyone is fed spiritually. I have said it often enough. There would be no misunderstandings within the message if the preachers had left the sermons as they were delivered and had not taken things out of context and then interpreted and again interpreted them. I believe, Brother Rus, you were there when we were at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem and then went into these vaulted rooms, the underground rooms, which look like catacombs, where the Torah and the Babylonian Talmud and the Jerusalem Talmud and where the Sulchitzin or whatever they are called, all the great books, one is the interpretation and the other is the interpretation of the interpretations. I shook my head. And we who were there, they don't just have the Torah, they have this Talmud and this one, and this one said this, and that one said that. And no one knows anymore what God actually said, because so many people thought they had to help God along somehow. When I see Isaiah 55 before me, I have no need to add anything or explain anything at all, because what God said is so clear, so understandable, so obvious. There's no need for explanation, only to believe and experience and thank God that He speaks to us. There would really be no divisions, no different directions as they are now, if everyone had remained faithful to the word and everyone had indeed left everything as it was. Let us take this to heart, and may others do so too, that we no longer incline our ears here and there, but make them available to the Lord. Incline your ear and come unto me, not to a preacher, not to someone who has special revelations. Come unto me and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We have heard God's word. Let us obey it. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. And then, as the snow and the rain do not return, unless they have fertilized the earth, so that the sower could sow, and the harvest could be reaped, and bread is there, so it is with the word of God. It does not return void. It accomplishes what God has sent it to do. I say it already in the first meeting. The victory of Golgotha is a divine reality. And we can already begin to rejoice and be glad and give glory to God. For a total victory has been achieved at Golgotha. The victor of Golgotha has overcome death and hell. He lives, and we live with him. Everything else is just trials, certain things we have to go through. What God has done in Christ is valid for all eternity. And just as the Lord celebrated the victory with Abraham, may he celebrate the victory of Golgotha with us and we with him in these days. When he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. What did he mean by that? Namely, what happened through his death. He died in our stead. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment was laid on him, that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. When we proclaim Christ crucified, when we proclaim the death of Jesus Christ, we do not stop there. We also bear witness to his resurrection. He lives. He did not only die, he rose again. We proclaim Jesus Christ, the crucified, the dead, the buried, the one who descended into hell, who rose from the dead on the third day, and testified to his disciples for 40 days that he was alive and then ascended into heaven. Beloved, let us ask the Lord to come into our midst in a supernatural way during these days. Whether you believe it or not, we have already had meetings here where brothers and sisters have seen the rainbow with its seven colors stretched out, meetings where supernatural light came down over the platform. We have already had meetings where the presence of God has been powerfully revealed. And we want to ask the Lord together to come down. We don't want to say how. We can say to him, Lord, reveal thyself. Come down in the pillar of fire. But how he does it, he knows himself. We only bring prayers before the throne of grace to express our desire, how much we want him to reveal himself. We are gathered before his face, incline our ear to him, giving him our hearts and telling him that we are ready to walk in his ways, to agree with his word, and to honor him through faith. He says, come unto me, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. I believe that God will give us rich food by his grace in these days. He has the fullness. Let us pray together, believe together, and ask God to stoop down and truly visit us as the rising sun from on high. Truly visit us, so that from the smallest to the greatest, from the youngest to the oldest, all may proclaim, truly God is in our midst. And usually this is also expressed in such a way that God's work begins in young and old alike. When the Spirit of God begins to work, it is not unusual that elderly people and children, 7-year-old or 14-year-old, it doesn't matter. When the Spirit of God begins to work, there is movement in the house of God, and then everyone is drawn in. Blessed are those who open themselves to God. How many believe in the supernatural work of God through the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah! Praise be to the living God. The Lord wants to do it. And I conclude with a remark from the sermon Peter preached, which was so short and in terms of content only touched on what happened to Jesus Christ at that time. Peter had not been able to go into great detail, but these few words were enough because they were believed, they were accepted, and already the Spirit of God began to work. Beloved, let us receive God's word in faith. Always agree with it in your hearts, and the Lord will reveal himself to us in a supernatural way. Praised and glorified be his holy name. Amen. As we bow our heads, close our eyes, and open our hearts, I ask all those who can already say and agree that we are a people of priests, kings in your kingdom, say amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise God. If there are still those among us who cannot yet testify to this. Dear heart, it is not a brother, not a preacher who calls out, but the Lord God who says, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. Come back to me. Leave the broad way and come unto the narrow path that leads to life. For the broad way leads to destruction, and many are those who walk on it, and there is no turning back. Oh, may the Spirit of God work in a mighty way, that the Word may penetrate, and that we may all experience His grace. Let us bow our heads, and before we sing the chorus, just as I am, I would ask that everyone bow their heads, close their eyes, and remain in prayer. If there is anyone here who would like to dedicate their life to the Lord today, raise your hand. The Lord sees it. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord sees it. The Lord sees it. Thank you. God bless you, young man. God bless you. The Spirit of God reigns in our midst. God is present. He calls out the last ones. The prayers are answered. Let us sing, just as I am. A word to all who may be struggling with things they want to be delivered and feel that it just doesn't work. But you believe that God is present, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Half a life is a total torment, wholly for Jesus, fully for Jesus. So let us go through life, as the song goes. There are people who are destined to go through the narrow gate, to walk the narrow path that leads to life. The broad way has brought you only hardship and sorrow, almost plunging you into despair. Those who are destined for the narrow path will find that the broad way brings hardship and misery. That is why the Lord is calling you. And if there are those here who still have things, habits, vices, whatever it may be, where you feel that deliverance is needed, while all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, raise your hand in faith that God will help. Thank you. God sees the hands. God sees the hearts. Jesus Christ is here to help, to set free, to reveal the victory of Calvary. Jesus is the victor.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Heavenly Father,
Herr unser Gott,
Lord our God,
wir danken dir,
we thank you
für den mächtigen Sieg,
for the mighty victory and blessing
in
this first meeting.
Ich bin schwach,
I am weak
und im Leibe nach,
and weary in body,
aber dem Geist
but strengthened and refreshed in spirit. I thank you especially for the many young people who raised their hands to dedicate their lives to you. Beloved Lord, we ask you together, may they all pray until they have attained the certainty of salvation, until your Spirit testifies to them that they have become children of God. O beloved Lord, grant us also such times of prayer where souls are born again, where your Holy Spirit falls, where we are baptized in the Spirit, and your glory can be revealed in this place. Lord Jesus, you are the same, and you will testify that you are the same. We place ourselves and every gathering under the covering of your blood and ask for the guidance of your Spirit. Lord, may every heart be opened. May there be no questioners or doubters here, but believers who receive what is preached and affirm it and also experience it. Beloved Lord, we thank you for every gracious visitation. Oh, how clearly you have revealed yourself to us, Almighty God. In Christ, you are hidden to some, revealed to others, a mystery to some, and a blessing to others. O beloved Lord, accept us and bless us all from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.